Take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see now.
Holy Spirit, once again, just like you began, you will flow through this session. Minister to us. Teach us. Build us. Give us a character of intercession that we might resemble our master in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seats. It's exciting for me to have a conference all dedicated to intercession. And I like the Latin word intercedere. It means to stand in the gap on behalf of another person. And this evening, I want to work, first of all, on the prayer life of Jesus Christ before we begin to attack building a lifestyle of intercession. Is it not interesting that there are three persons in God and two of them are intercessors? God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But both Son and Holy Spirit are permanent intercessors. This is one of the things which make us see that intercession is considered by God as so key that 2/3 of the Godhead is involved in it. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27.
Romans 8, 26, 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
The Bible justifies why we need a permanent intercessor dwelling inside us, and gives three reasons. The first is we do not know how to pray as we ought. The second is we do not know what to pray for as we ought. The third is we don't know the intensity with which to pray for topics as we ought. And the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. He comes to our aid because he knows the will of God. And he knows how serious that topic is to him. So he knows what we should pray about. He knows how we should pray concerning it. And he makes intercession for us with groans. That cannot be uttered. And he lives to do it in our hearts. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see a lady, you want to marry her, and you start praying. And the Holy Spirit knows no, no, no. And then he takes up the prayer. And with groans, he intercedes on your behalf until you drop that idea. But the second person involved in intercession is Jesus Christ. Let's read the Romans chapter 8, verse 34.
Romans 8, 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Interesting that in the same chapter, they tell us that the Holy Spirit is down here making intercession for us, and Jesus is up there making intercession for us at the right hand of God. We need intercessors. God desperately wants people to hold him. You know, my daddy was a shopkeeper, and one day a young man came to misbehave in the shop, and he said, somebody should hold my hands, otherwise I'll slap him just now. Hold me, hold me. And people held him. Say, oh, Mr. Jomensa, it's okay, it's okay. God does that. You know, he's like, somebody should hold me, otherwise I'll wipe out the whole of Israel. And hold me, hold me. And then people hold him, oh, so it's okay, it's okay. Oh, Jehovah. And so that is what is going on. And I want us to understand that this intercession is what saves us to the uttermost. Let's read the Hebrews chapter 7, verses 25 and 26.
Hebrews 7, 25, 26. Wherefore is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, saying he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
The main reason the Bible gives why Jesus is able to save us to the uttermost, to the finish, is because he ever lives to make intercession for us.
For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens.
So, dying on the cross, shedding his blood for us, rising from the dead, sitting at the right hand of God, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. He has a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yet he ever lives to make intercession for us. This is the only reason why he is able to save us to the uttermost. Many intercessors don't recognize the importance of the work they do. Without intercession, it is difficult to get people saved. Salvation appears free and cheap, but you need constant intercession upon your life to be able to work with enough grace to get home. Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, that Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
I want you to look at the passage carefully. Satan has desired to sift 12 of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you alone, Peter, that your faith should not fail. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. It is intercession that kept Peter. And when Peter was kept, he could strengthen his other brothers. The work of the intercessor is important because Satan does not rest. He is at work day and night. In fact, Luke chapter 4 verse 13 says, he left Jesus for an opportune time. Yes.
Luke 4:13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season.
You see, when Satan had ended tempting Jesus 40 days and 40 nights, he left Jesus for how long? For a season. For a season. For a season. Even for Jesus. Even for Jesus. Satan left him for a season. Meaning, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. We have a tireless enemy. And therefore, it is only when we build an attitude of everlasting prayer and watchfulness that we can match him boot for boot. That's it. So, let me spend most of this evening talking about the prayer life of Jesus Christ. For many of us Christians, including intercessors, we feel like, intercession is a gift which some people in the church have. And, they have the gift, so let them do it. And for such people, it's easy. When you begin to intercede, you just flow. And there's no difficulty. So you are okay. Wrong, 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 wrong. Intercession is a skill like driving, like cooking, like mastering your computer. It is an art which you need to discipline yourself and involve yourself in. You learn it and you become better and better and better at it. In fact, to give intercession over to some people as if only they should intercede while the rest go on holidays is to imagine that some Christians are not called to say, know their Bible. It's funny. There's nobody like that. So I just want to remove those cobwebs from our minds in this first part of my message. Jesus prayed. If anybody did not need to pray, it was Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible says an angel came to announce his birth, Angel Gabriel, and said that Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. You have a baby and the child will be holy. And the scripture is clear that from the mother's womb, it was Jesus came out as the Holy Son of God. Therefore, why did Jesus need to pray? Even after his baptism, heaven opened and a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Why does he need to pray? And the Spirit of God came upon him in the form of a dove and settled on him. John the Baptist pointed to him, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why would Jesus need to pray? We have to understand that Jesus prayed in order to build intimacy with God. If someone is your friend, you don't visit him only at Christmas and Easter. The habitual time you spend visiting him is what cements the friendship. Jesus Christ had a certain closeness to his Father before he came to the earth. And this closeness was what made him go constantly to visit his Father. Two, Jesus prayed because he came to this earth as a human being like you and me. For many of us, our minds tell us that that's Jesus. You know, that's Jesus. And when it comes to building up a life of prayer and intercession, we just excuse ourselves. But Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says that it was necessary for Jesus to be made like us in every way so that he will be a faithful and merciful high priest.
Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God.
It was necessary for Jesus to be like us in every way, in every way, in every way. Therefore, if Jesus had supernatural power so that he could pray and not be tired, then he was not like us. He was not like us. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, he was tempted in every way like us, yet without sin.
Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin.
John chapter 4 verse 6 says, Jesus was tired. So he was tired from his journey, so he sat at the well.
Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well.
It was
about the 6th hour.
He was weary from his journey. Jesus grows tired. That's what the Bible says. Jesus was tired. In fact, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 24, the Bible says he was so tired on one occasion, he was sleeping in the boat. They had to wake him up. He was asleep, fast asleep.
Matthew 8:24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep.
He was asleep. The ship was being covered with waves, and Jesus was asleep. He was asleep. The scripture tries to make us see that Jesus also became angry sometimes. Mark chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus was angry. Jesus gets angry.
And when he had looked around about on them in anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts,
Jesus gets angry.
He said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other.
And in John chapter 11, verse 35, the Bible says Jesus wept. He wept at the graveside of Lazarus. He wept because he was human. He felt sorrow and concern about the death of his friend Lazarus.
John 11:35, Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. Jesus wept. You know? And Jesus, he was hungry like us. Matthew 4:2, he says Jesus was hungry. After a 40-day fast, he also felt hunger.
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered.
God doesn't get hungry. Eh? Does God get hungry? Yes. So Jesus was hungry. And there were times Jesus was thirsty. John 19:28. Jesus said, I thirst. I'm thirsty. Somebody help me. I'm thirsty.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst.
So, what else should I say? I'm just trying to prove to you from the Bible that everything you feel when you are praying, Jesus feels the same. You pray, you are tired. Okay, then let's read the Luke 22. We'll read from verse 42 to 44.
Luke 22:42-44, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be
done. This is in Gethsemane, yes.
And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him.
Did you hear that? An angel appeared to him from heaven to strengthen Jesus.
And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly.
When, because he was in agony, he prayed more earnestly.
And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
So Jesus sweats. Jesus sweats. Jesus sweats. He was sweating. You see? So, I hope I have convinced you that Jesus was human in every way like you. So when we look at his prayer life, I don't want your mind to say, oh, but that's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. No. Let's bring ourselves to the place where we walk in his steps. And in case there is somebody here who is saying, well, Jesus, so what? I want to put it to you that Jesus is the Christian standard. Romans 8:29 says that those whom God foreknew, he predestined that they should be conformed to the image of his son, so that Jesus will be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. 1 Peter 2:21 says, this is why you have been called. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should walk in his steps. You can only walk in the steps of Jesus if he walks in a way that you can copy. Are you with me?
Yes.
1 John 2:6. He says that anyone who abides in Christ should walk as Christ walked. 1 John 3:3. He says, anyone who has this hope in him should purify himself. He purifies himself even as Jesus is pure. John 20:21. He says, Jesus came and said, peace be unto you. Just as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Let's read that one.
John 20:21. Then said Jesus to them again, unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you.
Please, will it be reasonable if I sent Pastor, there is a big man, let's say I send you to Tabane to go and buy one articulator load of yams and I give you 10,000 Ghana. If you go and you are able to buy the articulator full of yams and bring it, and I want to send your brother, how much should I give him? How much should I give him? I want to send his brother to go and buy one articulator load of yams for me. How much should I give him? Let's vote. How many people say I must give him the same amount, 10,000, as I gave? Huh? I see so many hands down. Okay. How many people think I should give him just 2,000 Ghana and he will be able to do it? But some didn't vote. How many people are not sure? You say? Okay, what's the view?
Maybe because of the way the economy, things are not stable. Next time, as you are sending him, the price might be higher than it was before you send the other one. So you should give him more.
Thank you. Okay, so it means I should even give him more. Now look at the board. Then, let's all read it together. Go. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. If heaven is sending us like Jesus, then every resource heaven gave Jesus must be given to us to be able to accomplish the same mission. Somebody is suggesting even more. You see, if Jesus says in John 15:12 that just as I have loved you, so love one another, then I must have the resources to love just as Jesus loved. If Jesus says in John 14:12 that anyone who believes in me, the works I do will he do also, greater works than this will he do, then the resources given to Jesus must be given to me at least. I want you to tell your friend the same resources Jesus had for prayer and intercession. You have it. You two reply and tell the person, then don't give any excuse. The Bible shows us that every major event in the life of Jesus, he met it with prayer. He had a 40-day prayer and fasting before beginning his ministry. That's Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 12, and Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. He began ministry with 40-day prayer and fasting. It doesn't look big until you realize that he lived on this earth 30 years before he started ministry. And he ministered only 3.5 years and he was crucified and died. For a 3.5 year ministry, he began with 40 days and 40 nights fast. That's it. Not only that, even though the other Matthew, Mark, and even John, they mention the baptism of Jesus, but they just tell us that when Jesus was baptized, heaven opened and the Spirit came down. It's Luke who tells us the truth in the matter. Let's read it. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, yes.
Luke 3:21-22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened.
You see? All the people were baptized and Jesus went away. But Jesus, when he was baptized, he was praying and heaven opened. heaven did not open on its own. It was prayer that opened heaven for Jesus. In the same way, Matthew, Mark, they all tell us that Jesus went to the mountain and he was changed. It's Luke who tells us that it was while Jesus was praying that he started the change. He got the encounter that brought the change. Let's read it. Luke chapter 9 from verse 28 to 30.
Luke 9:28-30. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered.
As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. It was the prayer that brought the transfiguration. It didn't just happen. If you get the idea that, oh, Jesus just went and then transfiguration, his face is wrong. It was as he was praying, then his face began to change.
And his raiment was white and glistering.
Now, another area too that Luke helps us is that the ministry and power, the anointing that accompanied Jesus' ministry was run by the prayer life of Jesus. Nothing just happened. It was out of prayer that the things happened which happened. Let's read Luke chapter 5. We are reading from verse 15 and 16. I would have loved another version. Even New King James or NIV. Yes.
Luke 5, 15 and 16. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses.
News about Jesus spread. Crowds came to hear him and to be healed.
But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
Yeah. Prayer is more important than ministry. Prayer is more important than ministry. Multitudes came to hear Jesus and to be healed. They wanted to listen to his sermons. They wanted to be healed. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He often withdrew to lonely places. Ah, the bishop is in our midst. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why? Because strength in ministry depends upon strength in prayer. In Mark chapter 1, from verse 35 to 39, we are told that in the morning, early in the morning, a long while before day, after heavy evening of ministry, Jesus got up and went to a solitary place and there he prayed.
And in the morning, yes, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed.
This rising up a long while before day is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. The Greek word they use there, pro-e, means early, the fourth watch. Early in the morning, a long while before day, he went to a lonely place to pray. Yes.
And Simon and they that were with him followed after him.
So the disciples woke up late and they were searching for him.
And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee.
When they found Jesus, they said, all men are searching for you. Every pastor will be flattered. Yeah, you go and minister in London, and the next morning, They can't tell you that the whole London is searching for you. What? You want to stay? You want to be a blessing? Listen to Jesus. Yes.
And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth.
How did he come by this? How did Jesus know that the voice of the people is not the voice of God? Because the whole city was searching for him. But when he was praying, the Father said, you must move. Therefore, the pressure to go back to minister there, he overcame it. That's it. I'm trying to convince you, you see, about the ministry of Jesus and the prayer foundation that made Jesus' ministry what we see. His choice of the 12 disciples. Now, please, you have to notice another thing. Let's read the Luke 5. We have read 15 and 16. Please, let's read 17. Yes, Luke 5, 17.
And it came to pass on a certain day,
yes,
as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them.
Why was the power of the Lord present to heal them? He often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Therefore, the anointing was there. Now, let's look at the chapter 6, verse 12, 13, and then 19.
And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. 13 says, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles.
I am saying that everything Jesus did was baptized in prayer. Okay. We saw his baptism. We have seen his transfiguration. Then we saw his ministry life. And now the choice of his 12 disciples was after an all-night prayer. And I always make fun that if you don't pray at least all night before you choose your assistants and second in command, you will choose 11 Judas Iscariots. He prayed all night, but one was Judas Iscariot. You don't. So, let's read the verse 19. We are on Luke 6.
And the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue out of him and healed them all.
Yes, virtue, power was coming out of him to heal all. As a pastor, I can tell you the secret. Whenever I'm going to preach and I have more time to stay in God's presence, and I am, you know, my wife is here, I am able to sit and pray through and wait upon the Lord. When I go, I don't know where the words come from. There is a difference in the level of oil on the life of every human being, depending on your prayer life. It's not bought. You can't use gimmicks to get it. You pay the price for the anointing on your life. But I want you to notice that in Luke chapter 9, 18. Let's read it.
And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am?
You see, Matthew tells us in Matthew 16 that Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Mark 2 says it. They don't tell us that it was when Jesus was praying. It was after prayer that he did his research. He wanted to ask his disciples, who do people say I am? But he prayed before. While he was in a certain place, praying. Then the disciples were with him and he asked them, who do people say that I am? And in the Luke chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, we are told that Jesus was praying in a certain place. The disciples were there, but Jesus was praying. And when he finished, one of them came and said, look, Master, this one dear, you have to teach us how to pray. Oh. You have to teach us how to pray. Yes.
And he said unto them, Luke 11, 1.
Yes.
And it came to pass that, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray.
These were Jews. They knew about prayer. But there was something about the prayer life of Jesus, day and night, as they were with him, that they finally said, no, please teach us how to pray. Please.
As John also taught his disciples.
That's the impact. Now, there are three areas, three places that I want us to zero on this evening for me to establish my point. The first one is Luke chapter 21. Let's read all the way from verse 36. 38.
Luke 21, 36 onwards. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things.
You know, it is easy to think that once you are born again and you have received the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, you are okay. It's very easy to think so. But this is from the master's mouth. He said, you see, what I'm trying to do is to convince you that you don't need to be an official intercessor appointed by the church before you build a personal prayer life. You see, it's wrong for the rest of the church to think that you are an intercessor. So you go and pray. Every child of God needs to build an everlasting, watchful prayer life before the intercessors move one step forward. You see, every Christian must win souls, but there are evangelists. Every Christian must read his Bible, but there are Bible teachers. Don't think that Christianity exempts you from prayer once you are not an intercessor. This is my foundation this evening. If I'm able to get that through, tomorrow will be easy for us. And don't think you are doing Jesus service when you are an intercessor, because it is in your own interest. Your prayer life saves you. You see, this is what he's saying. He says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you be accounted worthy to escape the things which are happening in this world.
And to stand before the Son of Man.
Yes.
And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple.
Did you hear that? In the daytime, Jesus was teaching in the temple.
And at night, he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives.
At night, he went out and slept in the mountains. In the daytime, he was in ministry, teaching. At night, no sleep. He went to the mountains to pray. The prayer supported the temple ministry. Yes, you haven't finished.
And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him.
So for about a whole week, what he did was, during the daytime, you see him in the temple teaching, teaching, teaching. People are surprised at this guy. But at night, he doesn't go to bed. He doesn't go to bed. He goes to the mountain to pray. In the open sky to cry to the Lord. Now, this is a man, the Son of God, who has raised Lazarus from the dead. He has walked on the sea. He has multiplied 5 loaves to feed 5,000. And you know, they gathered baskets full. This is a man who raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. The widow of 9. He just spoke and the son got up. You are talking Jesus. But look at his prayer life. No amount of past experience of encounters with God changes your dedication to prayer. You can't give us an excuse that, oh, I used to pray those days, and the amount of prayer I used to pray is there as a bank. So, you know, right now, I don't need to pray so much. There is nothing like that. The master, during the daytime, he was ministering in the temple. At night, he was back in the mountains to pray. That's how he lived his life. And it's not only Luke who records this. John chapter 8, verse 1. The woman caught in adultery. Yeah, okay, that's it.
Jesus went down to the Mount of Olives.
No, let's read the chapter 7, the last verse of chapter 7 into this one. It says they all went, that's it.
And every man went unto his own house.
Every man went to his own house. Then chapter 8 verse 1.
Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives.
Correct. Everybody went to his house. When we close, you go to your house. This one, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. This is the kind of life the master who bought you with his blood. This is the kind of life he lived. Because without building a life of prayer, you cannot match Satan and his wiles. You can't. So, okay, let's get on to my second area. I want us to look at, that's the Matthew 26. Matthew 26, I want us to read all the way from verse 36. It's a long passage, but it will do us good.
Matthew 26 from verse 36.
Yes.
Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder.
Here, many of us, including myself, for a long time, I thought that it was the night Jesus was arrested that he went to Gethsemane. Wrong. Let's read John chapter 18.
John 18.
From verse 1, yes.
From verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words,
yes,
he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with the disciples.
How did Judas know that I can find Jesus in Gethsemane? He often went there with his disciples to pray. Gethsemane was not discovered the night before the arrest. It was where they used to go. And Judas knew the place. And could say, if you are searching for Jesus, he will be at the prayer. Let's go. Didn't I tell you? He will be there praying. Oh, let's go. And they caught him. Gethsemane. Okay. So let's go continue with Matthew. We are in Matthew 26.
Then came Jesus. Okay. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee.
Yes.
And began to be sorrowful and very heavy.
Jesus was sorrowful. Jesus was heavy. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. Yes.
Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father.
Whenever I come across this, I sit beside my Bible. Jesus, he went a little further and fell on his face. I'm saying, if anybody did not need to pray, it was Jesus. But here is Jesus on his face before his Father. He fell on his face. Why? Because, you see, prayer is not jombolijo. Prayer is not fun. Prayer is not just throwing a few words at God. Prayer is not, trying to cajole God or coerce him or frighten him. There are certain postures which move God. There is a certain position of your life and heart and body which, at this time, Jesus fell on his face. Luke says he knelt down, and Mark says he prostrated himself. But Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 says, with loud cries and tears.
Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears.
Strong. When was the last time you wept? When your computer crashed. When your iPad fell. When your children put your mobile phone into water. That was the last time you wept. Because that's where your heart is. These are the things we weep about. When you say, man no cry. You see, few men want to pray and weep. If a woman is weeping, you say, it's okay. That's for women, they weep easily. But this is Jesus, strong crying, tears. If you are talking about a man, Jesus was a man. But he wept. He wept in prayer. When was the last time you wept? Wept in prayer. It's because if you don't have this and you are an intercessor, heaven just smiles. Because you can't do business with heaven, with that type of life. He told Hezekiah that, I have heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, I will heal you. Because God sees tears. I am trying to establish, and I hope by now, I don't need to argue again. I am saying Jesus prayed. Jesus himself built a prayer life. He also felt tired. There were times he was weary. He slept. There were times he needed, but you need to build it. You need to build a prayer life before you can be an intercessor. Because the prayer life is the foundation for you to rise up and intercede. Otherwise, if you haven't got a prayer life, what are you coming to intercede about? You need to build a prayer life. You need to build a prayer life. You need to build a personal prayer life. A time with God when you regularly, daily come to God, meet him and have time for him and build an intimacy, a friendship with God. Then when, you know, let's say the president, the governor of the Bank of Ghana is your personal friend. And for 5 years you haven't visited him. Then something happens and you need money. How do you find going to his house? Eh? Because immediately you go and state your case. That's why you have come today. Before you can be an intercessor, you need to build a prayer life which gives you access, intimacy with God. Then you can have his ear when you appear. And I'm establishing that Jesus prayed. Even Jesus built a prayer life. And after his death, he still lives to make intercession. Therefore, even after death and resurrection, he has not stopped praying. Therefore, there cannot be any Christian on this earth who has not built a prayer life, and you are saying he is your Lord. In which way is he your Lord? So this evening, we are all going to cry to God. We are going to talk to the Lord to help you build a prayer life. You see, build a regular and ceasing, you know, pray without ceasing muscle. So that when on top of that, you can intercede. Amen. Amen. We are going to be on our feet. But I don't want us to start praying immediately. I want you to tell God that from today, I'm dedicating, say, 5 minutes every day, 10 minutes every day, 20 minutes every day, 30 minutes every day, not for intercession, but for prayer, building a prayer life so that I can establish friendship, personal friendship, access to the throne of God as a foundation for my life as an intercessor. I want to copy Jesus. I want to be like him. Therefore, I want to work on my prayer life. Shall we be on our feet? This time, use a minute or two. Establish how much time on a daily basis you want to give God in your life, and make it regular. Yes. Jesus prayed. Loud cries and tears fell on his face. if he says, just as the Father sent me, so send I you, there is grace for prayer. There is grace for prayer. Heaven gives grace for prayer. Grace, grace at the throne of grace. Heaven gives grace for prayer. As for a spirit of prayer and supplication. Yes. Okay, now you can begin to pray. You can begin to talk to the Lord. Yes, ask that this intercessors conference. Yeah, will make a difference for the rest of your life. Your attitude to prayer will be the same as Jesus' attitude to prayer. As for grace, grace, yes, grace, yes. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Enough grace, enough grace, enough grace to pray like Jesus, to grow up in prayer like Jesus Christ.
Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key.
Take hold of somebody beside you. Just take hold of the person and start praying for the person's prayer life. Start praying for the person's prayer life. Start praying for the person's prayer life. Start interceding for the person's prayer life. Yes, yes. Thank you. Amen. Amen. For some, it is just pure laziness. For others, it is busyness. You are so busy, you can't pray. And for yet others, it's just mismanagement of time. Spend more time on the computer with WhatsApp and Facebook, more time than you have spent praying. And some other people too, it's just that they don't see the seriousness of the business of prayer and intercession. And for others, it is you are asking the same thing, you are not getting, you are tired. Therefore, you just let your prayer and intercession life fall down. And yet others, they pray, they are not hearing anything, they are not getting in touch with heaven. So because of that, you have long given up. And for yet others, it's because your mind is so narrow. You can't see the global picture. You can't see how Islam is invading the country. You can't, your mind doesn't grasp the fact that, you know, we are being handled in a way which we shouldn't. You can't see. And because you can't see, when time for prayer, nothing moves you. Today, all those things must be cleared. Yes. And the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God in Christ Jesus is able to do more than that. He says, ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be open. If you ask for a spirit of prayer and supplication, he will give it to you. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Shaka, Ikamaki and the Baka Kima Kinda, Boka Kima Kinda La Bakika, Ngerianda Habaka Kianda, Nkorianda La Bakika Kianda Bakianda, Nkeki Kamakianda, Ngerianda La Bakika Makianda.
Let the Spirit of God rest upon us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, O God. Ability to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, O God. Abrashakapa, Yede Brakapa, Adamashaha, Abrakapa, Yede Zapa, Zabrakapa, Rapa, Rakapa, Yede Rapa, Zundurukapa, Abrashahapa, Abrashahapa, Abrashahapa.
The last thing I want us to pray about is 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. He says, if our hearts condemn us, God is bigger than our hearts. But if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness, confidence. Every intercessor, whatever your standing, you need a heart which doesn't condemn you. Otherwise, you cannot draw near to God to lay hold of him. Every intercessor needs that. The righteous man is as bold as a lion. But the wicked man, even if nobody is chasing you, you are afraid. We need hearts that do not condemn us. We need hearts which can make us boldly take hold of God and draw near to him. Lay hold of God and lay hold of him in such a way that he can hear us. Like Moses told him, if that's the case, then kill me. If you won't spare the Israelites, then kill me. And God said, no, I'm not going to kill you. And I've heard what you have said. We need hearts that have confidence, boldness to draw near to God. I want you this evening, as we speak to God, He brought you here for a reason. And there are certain things the Spirit of God will put His finger on in your life, which interfere with the boldness with which you can be an intercessor. And that must be, it must be dealt with. It must be dealt with in this conference, so that you'll be a stronger, better intercessor. You take hold of God, and He knows that a human being has taken hold of Him. Shall we pray? Just talk to Him about your
heart. Holy Spirit of the Lord. Give us the grace to stand boldly in the name of Jesus Christ, O God, in your presence, in the name of Jesus Christ, O God, to intercede for our family, in the name of Jesus Christ, O God. Amashahanda makapa, alabadusa abraka apaya, andabraka paya paya, andabrosa paya paya, yendeza braka paya paya, abadosa braba pa, makada braba. In the name of Jesus.
Our Father and our God, you said, I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap before me, and I found none. Lord, here you are with an army standing before you. Men and women who have come to take hold of you. Our prayer is that this night you will give us an encounter. Lord, we want you to meet us in the power of your Spirit. Lord, put grace upon our lives. Put your finger, every area of our lives you want to turn around. Lord, encourage us to take hold of you. Encourage us to take hold of you. Encourage us to take hold of you. So that we can ask of you, and you will give us the nations for an inheritance, the ends of the earth for a possession. Let no one go back the same. Let everyone have an experience that is worth a lifetime, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube, and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.